Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
6-week series that we call the Five Catalysts. And what we're looking at is what are the ways that God uses to really blow up and grow up our faith. I remember when I was in junior high, there was this TV show. It was called SCTV. I don't know if any of you ever saw it, but there was one segment on there. It was really funny. It was called Farm Film Report. It blowed up. Blowed up good. And you ever saw it? These two guys are talking about films, and it's like, yeah, I don't like that film because there's too much talking in that one. Now, this here film is really good because, you know, they blew a lot of stuff up. It blowed up. It blowed up good. It blowed up real good. I mean, the whole thing is they're talking about things blowing up, you know. And anyone ever see that? I'm the only one. Okay. We should show you a video of it. It was hilarious. But here's the thing. God wants to blow up our faith. He wants our faith to get bigger. And we've been talking the past few weeks, how does God do that? How does he blow up our faith? We've talked about practical teaching. Maybe we go to a class. Maybe something we hear in a message. We go to a camp. There's a Sunday school challenge. God speaks to us about something to do, and we just don't hear it, but we do it. We apply the information, the truth that we've been given. That's one way God grows our faith. Another way that God grows our faith is through private disciplines. We pray. We have devotions. God gives us direction. There's Bible reading, memorization, fasting, giving. Those are the basic disciplines when we say, God, I'm going to take this time and I'm going to demonstrate devotion to you. I'm going to put you first in my life, through my time, through my finances. And I'm not going to stand up there like the Pharisees and say, this is how much I read and this is how much I pray. But when we do it in private, and as we invest in spending personal, private time with Jesus, we grow in our faith. The third catalyst is personal ministry, and that's when we do what God nudges us to do. When God nudges us, hey, I want you to give some money to this person. I want you to go help your neighbor. I want you to start this Bible study at work. I want you to get involved in the food pantry. As you saw, one lady in our Destiny class felt like God was nudging her to get involved in the food pantry, get involved in kids ministry, worship team, whatever it might be. When God nudges you to do something and you do it, even though you're fearful, even though you're not sure if you have the ability or the experience, that's when you see your faith grow. This morning, we're going to take a look at the fourth catalyst that God uses to grow our faith, and it's what we call providential relationships. Providential relationships. And when we ask people what things help them grow, something that came up was people. So a couple of people mentioned they had mentors in their life. For someone, it was their grandma. Their grandma just continued to invest in them and pour into them, and that helped them grow. And here's the thing. Whenever I've talked to people about what is it that helps your faith grow, what is it that helps you become closer to Jesus, the thing that you never hear was in isolation. All by myself, nobody else was involved, did I discover faith, did I grow in my faith, did I become the person God wanted me to be, and I did all the things God wanted me to do all by myself. It's never by themselves. There's always people involved at different points of the journey. And if you think where you're at today in your relationship with God is just because of you and no one else has ever been involved, then I'm just going to venture to say you probably don't know your story very well, because God uses people. A lot of times people will say, well, man, I met this guy, or a group of girls invited me to a Bible study. There was this neighbor down the street. There was this professor in college who I found out was a Christian. And at first I thought he wasn't too smart if he's this professor and he's a Christian. But then I saw his life and there was something different about him. Sometimes people talk about
someone that they grew up in church with. A lot of times young people say, there was this Sunday school teacher who really took an interest in me. Or there was a youth leader that I really admired. Sometimes people talk about someone at work, a boss, a supervisor, a coworker who maybe kind of took them under their wing, kind of adopted them and just began to pour into them spiritually and it helped them to grow. Whatever it is, God brought a person into their life. He set up this relationship, and through that relationship, they began to grow. Their faith took off. Or maybe their faith was rescued. It was hanging at a precarious balance. For some people, that's where they found their faith, was through that relationship. I'd like you to look at your notes this morning. They're in your bulletin. And catalyst number four is a providential relationships. And it's when God uses human relationships to impact our faith, where the Lord brings people, individuals, couples, or groups to intersect our path, causing our faith to grow. And sometimes these relationships are long-term. They last years, maybe your entire lifetime. Other times, these relationships are short-term. Sometimes they only last a few minutes, or a few weeks, or a few months. Sometimes it's a single conversation. God brings you across a person and you have one conversation with him and boom, God uses it to grow your faith, to do something monumental in your life. Other times, there are a series of conversations with that person that God uses to help grow your faith. There's a couple of things that make a relationship providential, and we have those listed there in your notes. The two things that make a relationship providential is, first, when we hear God through someone. When we hear God through someone, maybe they speak a word of knowledge or a prophecy over your life, and it just maybe confirms something. You kind of felt God was speaking to you, but you really weren't sure. And that's just a word that, man, you can stand on, and it just takes your faith to a new level to help you do what God has called you to do. Maybe it's just, you know, a sentence or two of encouragement. They say something to you. I remember when I was in Bible college, I was getting ready to, it was my senior year, and where I did my internship, I was the associate youth pastor. The youth pastor moved to a different town and became a lead pastor, and he called me up just a couple months in, and like in about September, October, says, "Hey, I want you to come and be my youth pastor." I'm going, "Great, I'll do it." And so here I am, I'm going, man, it's October and I already got a job when I graduate. And that's a good thing because I know I'm getting married and, you know, you kind of need to, you know, to pray for that. Well, in December, he gives me a phone call and he says, "Man, I've got a horrible situation going on. My lay worship leader is going around and telling people horrible things about me." He goes to someone who's not healed and he says, "You know why you're healed? It's because of that man right there." And he points to me, the senior pastor. And this guy, his brother is on the board, his mother plays the organ, his sister plays the piano, and I gotta fire this guy and relieve him. And when I do, I lose my whole worship team. So I have got to hire a worship pastor instead of a youth pastor, and I can't hire you. And that was like right before Christmas break. And all my friends, I didn't even put together a resume, okay? Because I had a job. Why do you put a resume together when you have a job? So all my friends, they've got their resumes out. They've been looking. I have to put together a resume. I start doing the blitz. And I come to March and I still have no leads, okay? Nothing. Everything's just kind of falling through, not hearing back from anyone. And I go to one of my professors. He was my academic advisor. His name was Brother Jones. And I went and told him what was going on. "Here, it's March. I'm getting married in the beginning of May. I don't know what I'm going to do, where I'm going to go." And he said, "You know what, Craig? I've been thinking for some time about just, you know, I've been here in the school a long time and I miss ministry. And I've thought about, you know, going back. And, you know, if I went back into ministry and was pastoring instead of teaching guys how to pastor, I'd hire you to be my youth pastor." And even though he wasn't going back, just that word gave me hope and encouragement to go on. Just a couple of sentences. And sometimes that's what someone does. They just give you a few sentences and it lifts your faith in an incredible way. Sometimes you have a mentor who just repeatedly pours into you. Sometimes it's someone who sits down with you over a cup of coffee or several cups of coffee and they listen and they give you advice. But God uses people to grow our faith. He uses people to grow our faith. And when we hear God speak through them, that's the first thing that makes a relationship providential. The second thing that makes it providential, take a look in your notes, is when we see God through someone. We see God through someone. In some relationships, people say, well, they never said anything to me, but I watched their life. I saw who they were, and that helped me grow as a Christian. You know, I saw them do their marriage, and I says, that's what I want my marriage to look like. I saw how they prioritized family. And even though I don't have a family yet, I wanted my family to look like that. Or I wanted to make changes in my family and how I approach my family because I want my family, my home, to look like their home. Sometimes it's like I saw them, how they walked away from financial deals because they were shady. They weren't on the up and up. And even though they could have made a killing on it, they were a person of integrity. Or maybe that deal, that business opportunity was going to negatively impact their family life, and so they turned it down. Even though it meant a lot of wealth, they said family's more important. And when they watched someone's life, they said, man, they're mirroring a set of values that I don't have in my life, but it's a set of values that I want, and it's going to take me to the next level in my relationship with God. And so those are a couple things that make our relationships providential when we hear and when we see God through someone else. Now, here's the thing. Take a look in your notes this morning. The opposite is true as well. Just as relationships can build your faith, they can also undermine your faith. How many have found that to be true? That sometimes relationships undermine your faith. They take the legs out from underneath you. You know, there's times where you found yourself believing less in God. You found yourself further from God because of someone else than closer to God. Maybe you take a look at your life and you says, man, when I've met this person, it's taken me so far from where I wanted to be in life, where I wanted to be in relationships, where I wanted to be in my marriage, where I wanted to be in my finances. It just really messed me up. There might be some of you here today, and you find yourself in church for the first time in a long time, and you don't even know why you came today, but you're saying, man, Craig, I know exactly what you mean. That's the reason I haven't been in church for years, because something another Christian did to me. And I've been hurt, and I've just kind of like, if that's what Christianity's like, then I don't want anything to do with it. And you've thrown the baby out with the bathwater, and for some reason you find yourself today, it's not a mistake. It's not by chance that you're here on the day when we're talking about relationships. You see, you have a choice how you're going to let those things impact you. Don't let the devil steal from you God's destiny for your life because of someone else's betrayal, someone else's mistreatment, someone else who did you wrong somewhere, sometime, some way. Because the devil would love nothing more than for you to do that. How many have found you'd say, man, I wish I had never returned that phone call when I received it from someone, or I wish that was a date I had never went on. I wish that was an invitation I said no to, a text message I never responded to, a business opportunity I had walked away from, or a person I had never met. How many have ever been there before? You've had people in your life that you realize they were not a positive impact on my faith. Yeah. Look around. Raise them up high again, okay? And I want you to look around. Everyone look around, okay? My hand is up. I could have both hands up. All of us have been hurt by people. How many have been hurt by Christians before? Raise your hands. Look around you. I want you to see this because you're not alone. You see, if each one of us who raised our hands says, that's it, I'm not going to follow God because a Christian hurt me, We wouldn't have anybody in church. We wouldn't have anyone in church because just as people can help us, they can also hurt us. They can also hurt us. Relationships are a powerful thing, and they intersect with our faith for good or for bad. And that's why we can count on for the rest of our lives that God is going to use relationships. He has the potential to use them, and he's willing to use relationships in our lives in order to build our faith. And here's the thing, the wrong kind of relationships have the potential to undermine our faith. But the right kinds of relationships have the potential to build our faith. And so we want to learn, how can we leverage relationships in our life? And here's the thing. You cannot provide a catalytic providential relationship. Has ever been someone you've met and you'd say, boy, I wish I could really be their friend. I wish I could really get close to them, but it just doesn't work out. How many know that you can't set up a providential relationship? You and I can't do it. God has to do it. I remember I was raised in a Christian environment where how you grew in your faith was basically come to Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You just come and you sit and you hear someone else tell you what to do. And then you go home and you pray and read your Bible, and it's what you do. And the environment I grew up never really talked about the importance of relationships in your life. It kind of made it just come to church and be passive and bring it all in and then go home and pray it and just do it all on your own. And maybe some of you, that's how you grew up. Relationships were never prioritized. How many of you would say relationships really weren't a big thing in the church I grew up in? There's a few of you here. And for those of us where that's not how we are used to growing our faith, entering providential relationships, this might be a really new concept in our life, because you can do the other four, but if you miss out on this one, I just want to tell you, you are missing out on one of the great opportunities that God can speak into your life and help you grow. And some of you, you've been hurt, and so you have just kind of says, you know what? I'm just going to take this one off the board. It might be there. Craig, I hear what you're saying, but I'm taking it off the board. It's not for me. But if you do, you're missing out on what God has for you. And my prayer for you is if you've been hurt in relationships, you'd say, I'm going to turn that card around. I'm going to let God have an opportunity to do that in my life. Here's a couple of reasons, and this is in your notes, a couple of reasons why relationships are so important. Number one is our culture. Our culture is constantly pushing us away from God, okay? There are people you're going to go to school with tomorrow, or for our students, people you're going to go to work with, and you know what? They are anti-God. They're not a person of faith. They don't really believe in Jesus and what he can do for your life. And so their whole life goes in a direction that's opposite of what Jesus would have it to go. And they don't want you to go that direction. You know why? Because your life makes them guilty. When they see you, they feel guilty. And it might be someone at work. It might be someone at school. And our culture around us, you turn on the news and all the things of the news. I mean, you listen to the news for a half hour, 45 minutes, and you can find yourself saying, life isn't worth living. There's no hope. We're going to hell in a handbasket. I mean, sometimes, you know, you turn on Fox News or whatever news, and how many find yourself saying, I need to take some Valium? I mean, it's depressing. Because you see, what our world is saying to us is there are such horrible events happening, circumstances, situations, and they say nothing about God, and so we think God's not in control. It's really bad. Man, it is hopeless, and it undermines our faith, our culture, the people we meet, the media. It undermines our faith in God. And then there's a second thing that undermines our faith in God. It's our own nature. Our own nature undermines. Rarely am I tempted to do what is right. Okay? It's like, okay, if I've never had a situation where I'm tempted to be kind. You know what? I'm going to resist that temptation to be kind. You know, God, we're not tempted to do something right and say, oh, it's such a struggle to keep from doing the right thing. I'm going to resist that temptation to do right. No, we are tempted to do the wrong things. Our own nature takes us down the path of wanting to do the wrong thing. The wisest man in the world, Solomon, wrote this in Proverbs chapter 18. He says, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. I know some people that say they're Christians, but I don't need the church. I don't need to go to church. I'm fine living life the way I am. Friends, right here, this verse that you see on the screen, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. It rages against wise judgment. We need relationships because our nature, the way we are, if we're left to ourselves by ourselves, we become selfish, we become inward focused, and it's not about us anymore, or it's not about God anymore, it's about us. You need relationships with other Christians. And those two reasons, our culture and our own nature, are the reasons that relationships are so vitally important. So if relationships are so important, how do we leverage them? We're going to look at the two scriptures that we mentioned at the top of the message. Take a look at Proverbs 13:20. This one's in the Old Testament. And the next scripture we look at is going to be in the New Testament. But both of them teach the same principle. And this is what Proverbs 13:20 says. It says, he who walks with the wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Now realize, this is more of an observation than a command. It's an observation. And how many of you have seen that to be true? When you hang out with wise people, when you do life with wise people, you make wise decisions. How many found that to be true? Raise your hand high. Several of you. Now on the flip side, how many have found it true that when you hang out with foolish people, you end up doing foolish things that hurt you or hurt others or hurt everyone? How many found that? Yeah, we all have. And that's what Solomon's saying. He says, hey, who you hang out with is going to have an impact on you. Take a look at your notes. The people you choose to surround yourself with have the potential to impact your spirituality. The people that you surround yourself with has the potential to impact your spirituality. You see, there is a spiritual component to our relationships, and a lot of times we don't really realize that. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, he said, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Now, I have used this verse on my kids several times. How many parents out there have maybe quoted this verse to your kids before? Any parents have done that? Some of you have? Yeah. Evil company corrupts good habits. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. You hang out with wise people, you're going to be wise. You hang out with fools, hang out with the ungodly, you're going to be a foolish, you're going to be ungodly. And here's the thing, Paul wasn't writing this to the youth group at Corinth, okay? He was writing it to the church, to the adults. And what Paul is saying, what Solomon is saying, is that human relationships can have a positive or a negative impact on your walk with God. This stuff isn't just common sense. There is a spiritual component to your relationships. And so what you do with relationships will impact your walk with Christ. It will impact if you're going to grow or if you're going to have a faith that is undermined. And here's the thing, the God who loves you, who invites him to call you father, who cares about your character, your morality, and the consequences of the decisions that you make in your life, that God, he wants us to choose relationships that influence us to go in the right direction, that create the right kinds of outcomes and the right kinds of behavior. Because if we choose relationships that are the wrong kinds of relationships, they'll produce the wrong kinds of outcomes and the wrong kinds of behavior in our life. And instead of us growing as a catalyst, it'll be a catalyst the other way and undermine us. That's why, as a church, we're not just about the Sunday morning service. That's why we prioritize relationships through our life groups. That's why we want people to get engaged in relationship, because we realize how important relationship is. You can't effectively grow to the potential just coming to church, sitting down, singing a song, saying, yeah, yeah, Craig, and you go back home, and you're doing this Christian life alone. We are a body. If you disconnect your hand from your body and your foot from your body and your nose from your body and your ear from your body, what happens? Number one, you look really silly and you're very impaired, but what happens to the hand, the nose, the ear, and the foot? They die. The man who isolates himself, it ends up in death. We need relationships. That's why a few weeks ago, when we were on the Others First series, and we did the message, Not On My Watch, Pastor Todd and Pastor Josh were up here, and they were sharing about how we want to make small groups, relationships, vitally important in our youth ministry, where there are adults who are saying, hey, I want to walk with a group of students from sixth grade to the 12th grade and be there. And as we talk about the things that we're learning in youth, we apply them in life. We are there. There's people. We want to develop relationships. That's a strategy we want to do up in kids' church, in our adventure church, Adventure Kids, where we take a group of first to fifth graders and they're meeting with the same adults. And as Pastor Angela shares the truth, then those groups break out afterwards and they're talking about it. And it's not just teaching information, but there's a relationship that's being built there. A relationship that supports the relationship you as parents have. That's why we want to create environments for relationships, because God uses them. Take a look at your notes. We must be intentional. It's the very last line there. We must be intentional about putting ourselves in environments where God may create a providential relationship. You and I have to be intentional. We just can't say, well, I'm just going to church. I'm just doing my own thing. We must be intentional. If you want to grow, then incorporating, putting ourselves in an environment where God can create these providential relationships, that is key to growing in our relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not about a program, about life groups or the small groups in youth or kids ministry. It's about teeing up a relationship. Do we have any golfers in here? How many golfers? I can't raise my hand because I'm a golfer. You say, what's a golfer? That's a cross between golf and a joke, okay? I golf, okay? But here's the thing. In golf, the shot that you will hit the farthest is the tee shot, where you get to take this little wooden thing and you set the ball on it and it tees it up, and so that there's no grass, there's nothing to impede it, and then you can take the biggest club you have and you slam it, and that's the shot that goes the farthest. And what relationships do, providential relationships are a tee. They can tee you up so that, boom, God can hit your faith and make it go the longest distance, the longest direction for him. Relationships tee us up for spiritual growth. Now, some of you say, Craig, I've trusted before. I'm not going to trust again. I want you to look on the back of your notes. We are not saying just trust any Tom, Dick, or Harriet who walks into your life, okay? Because that's not wise. Sometimes Satan sends people into our life, and I've known people, they look good, they sound good, but when I met them, it's like, you know what? There's something off about them. I remember a few years back, there was a guy that I met in a setting, and he just came off as being Mr. Spiritual, and he had everything all together. And in 3 years' time, he and his wife were divorced, and it was a mess. It was horrible. But on the front, when you first met him, they looked awesome spiritually. You just don't trust anyone. We give you 7 secrets to spotting people you can trust, okay? 7 secrets to spotting people. I'm not going to go over them. I want you to read them on your own. But if God is giving you a sense about someone, don't trust that person, even though they put on spiritual airs. Listen, that's the voice of the Holy Spirit trying to protect you from getting close to someone that can undermine your faith instead of building your faith. I want to close with a story this morning. It took place in December of 1973. It was a snowy night, and a man named Gene received a phone call that the farm implement dealership, he was a John Deere mechanic, the place where he worked, it was on fire. He loaded up his wife, Dorothy, and his 2 kids, and they took off, and when he got there, the building was up in flames, 50, 60 feet high in the air. Building burned down. He lost all of his tools as a mechanic, everything he had. And the shop owner says, I'm not building back. And it was a small community of under 2,000 people. And he had to find a new job. He began to commute 40 miles one way for a job through the cold winter time. And if the family hadn't already purchased the tree and bought the presents, they wouldn't have even had Christmas that year. And it was a very depressing time. Gene's wife became suicidal. At one point, she held a knife to her chest, ready to commit suicide. It was that bad. And there was just a lot of uncertainty, and summer rolled around, and Gene got a job at a place 150 miles away. The shop foreman, who had been at his previous place of employment, he had moved. He found Gene a job. So they moved to this community where they didn't really know anyone. They were far away from family. And Dorothy finds herself really, you know, kind of lonely. But there was a neighbor lady down the street. Her name was Barb. Barb was introduced to Dorothy, and Barb was a Christian. One of those born-again, tongue-talking ones, a really fanatical, radical ones, you know. And Dorothy was a religious person. She, you know, she believed that you got to heaven by going to church and taking communion and being baptized and doing all the rituals and the things your church tells you to do. Her faith was in her works, not in the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross, where he died for our sin, and we have to ask him to forgive us and surrender our life to him. And but Barb just, you know, she talked to Dorothy, she encouraged Dorothy, had her over for coffee, began to invite her to church, and Dorothy went and was like, you know, this is different. Because they're used, in her church, it's like, you're very quiet, you're very irreverent, you stand when you're told to stand, you sit when you're told to sit, you know, and here it's like, bless that wonderful name of Jesus, and they're raising their hands, and they're, I mean, this is not her church. But there's something real about it. And during this same period of time, this whole time, Dorothy's 7-year-old son had suffered from really severe allergies. And there was nothing they could do for him to be better. He was only well about 2 months out of the whole year. And Barb asked Dorothy, well, can our church pray for your son? And Dorothy says, yeah, might as well. Nothing else will work. And so they prayed, and that night, Dorothy's son was healed miraculously of his allergies. Dorothy wanted to wait a month to make sure this didn't come back, okay? After a month, when she knew her son was healed, then she received Christ. And a little bit later, her husband received, and her son, her daughter, and the whole family came to Christ. And you'd say, Craig, that's a really nice story. It's a lot more than a story, because it's my life. You see, Gene and Dorothy are my parents. I was the boy that had the allergies, and God healed me. And if God hadn't set up a providential relationship from a neighbor lady who just invited Dorothy over, had pie and coffee, invited my parents over, played some cards, had some, you know, some fun conversations. If they hadn't taken the time, I wouldn't be here today. Providential relationships can change someone's life. They can change your life. And here's the thing. God may be wanting to set up a providential relationship where God has you intersect with a neighbor lady down the street, a guy in the office where they don't know God, but God saves them, saves their children, and maybe they'll grow up to be a pastor or a missionary, maybe even the next Billy Graham. God wants to use you in relationships. And God wants to use others to impact your life. And if you're not open to God using people to help you in your walk with Jesus, you are missing out on some great blessings. That's why we have to be intentional about putting ourselves in environments, healthy environments, where God can create a providential relationship.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us casperfaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.